Now, the passage we read in Ephesians deals with that probably familiar passage to you about the armour of God. Now, I'm not actually speaking on that this morning. I want to draw your attention to verse 18 and 19 of Ephesians chapter 6. And it says this in the New King James Version: praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, the word supplication there means a request. That's what the word supplication means. The New International Version translates it praying with all kinds of prayers and requests. So I want us this morning to look at six kinds of prayer. Prayer, of course, is very important. And we should all seek to have a time each day, if we are able, to pray to the Lord. It may be on your own, or it may be with your wife or your husband or whatever, but have time to pray every day if you possibly can. Let me quote something again out of my little magazine. I want to quote something that Sir Isaac Newton wrote. Now, Sir Isaac Newton was a scientist who lived from 1642 to the year 1727, and he discovered the laws of gravity. Now, just as an aside, when God created the world, he created everything perfectly. He tilted the earth at 23.5 degrees, so we have our four seasons. The earth rotates at just the right speed for life to be possible on this earth. We circle the sun once every 365 days, giving us the years and so on. And Sir Isaac Newton discovered the laws of gravity. And gravity is just right for life to exist on this planet. Now, if gravity was any more than it is, it would probably take me 2 hours, 3 hours to get here this morning, because my car would not have been able to get more than perhaps 10 miles an hour because of gravity. And so life would be impossible, and you would find it difficult to walk about if gravity was any more than it is. If gravity was any less than it is, then everything will be floating about all over the place. Perhaps you see the astronauts on the TV, where the astronauts in the International Space Station, they're in zero gravity, and they're floating about all over the place, having a wonderful time floating around. Well, it wouldn't be quite as bad as that, but certainly life would be totally impossible if God hadn't made things just right on this planet. And Isaac Newton discovered the laws of gravity. Now, he said this. He said, I can take my telescope and look millions of miles into space, but I can go away to my room and in prayer get nearer to God and heaven than I can when assisted by all the telescopes of the earth. How true that is, isn't it? Now, we are exhorted in this passage to pray always with all prayer and supplication or requests in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean, in the Spirit? Well, it means that God helps us, or the Holy Spirit helps us, when we pray. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, the Holy Spirit helps us and inspires us in our requests to the Heavenly Father. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit makes intercession for us. So the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayers. Praying always with all prayer and requests or supplication in the Spirit. Now, let me look at six possible kinds, well, not possible, definite, six definite kinds of prayer. And first of all, there is, of course, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, that should always be at the forefront of our prayers. Psalm 100 says this. Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So we can give thanks to God above all, I think, for our Lord Jesus Christ, for his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and the hope of his coming again. There are lots of things that you can give thanks to God for. You can give thanks to God for your husband or wife, or your home, or your family, or your friends, or your employment if you are a working person, or your food every day. There's so much that we can give thanks to God for. Do you give thanks to God for this Hailsham Baptist Church here? As I say, last time I was here, I think you were having a bit of a makeover. and we had a makeover, as I say, at our church at Horsham. Do you give thanks to God for this building that you can come to twice on the Lord's Day and hear God's word and meet during the week as well? Do you give thanks to God for your church and the leadership here in this church? So we give thanks to God for so many different things. Secondly, we need to give thanks to God for those in authority and pray for them. Those in authority. And I believe this is very, very important at the present time. So we turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. As I prayed earlier, I prayed for the king and the royal family. And ever since the glorious revolution of 1688, we've had a stable monarchy in this country. And we thank God for that, because that has, I'm sure, helped a great deal for the stability in our country today. We are to pray for all those in authority over us. 1 Timothy 2, it says, I exhort first of all, and exhort means urge, it's important. He's urging us or exhorting us to that prayers, supplications, that's requests, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Saviour. So we pray for those in authority. I wouldn't want to be the Prime Minister of this country, whichever political party was in power. I wouldn't want that responsibility on my shoulders. I wouldn't want to be the Home Secretary or the Foreign Secretary and all the responsibility that those high offices have. We need to pray for those in authority over us so much. Do you pray for Keir Starmer? Do you pray for him? Now, he's an atheist. He's an atheist. And you may notice if some disaster happens somewhere, he says, my thoughts are with these people, not my prayers, my thoughts. Now, there's a difference between thoughts and prayers. Pray for him. Do you ever pray for Kemi Badenoch? Do you ever pray for her? Do you ever pray for Nigel Farage? He said recently that society is collapsing in this country, and I think he's absolutely right. Do we pray for these politicians? We don't know who's going to be in government in 4.5 years' time or whatever. We need to pray for these people in authority in our country at this time. In 1942, this country was in dead trouble. So we're coming on to something else now, but first of all, remember, pray for those in authority. Pray for Mr. Trump, pray for Mr. Putin, that he'll have a change of heart and stop this awful war that's going on. So pray for those in authority. Thirdly, pray for those in trouble. Troubles can come to us at any time. We never know when troubles are going to occur, do we, in our lives? Life isn't always just plain sailing. And in James chapter 5, 13, it says, "Is any among you suffering?" Or in a modern translation, it says, "Is any one among you got troubles? Let him pray." Let him pray. That's what we have to do when trouble comes our way. Now, in 1942, this country was in trouble. Hitler was poised across the Channel. He'd been bombing our cities and ports. We built 20,000 pillboxes to prepare ourselves for the invasion that never came. 2,000 of them still remain, by the way. 20,000 pillboxes with troops in each one ready for the land invasion that never came. And why did it never come? I believe because George VI called a National Day of Prayer in May 1942. It was the first of many National Days of Prayer. And the entire cabinet of the government then went to Westminster Abbey on the Sunday night in May 1942 to pray for God's deliverance. Can you imagine that happening today? I can't. But that's what happened. And through the various wonderful events like Dunkirk and so on, Hitler never invaded the mainland of Britain, and it never happened because people prayed. They prayed. What a difference prayer makes. So, is any of you in trouble, the Bible says? He should pray. And then it also says in the book of James, it says this, is anyone among you sick? This is James 5:14. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, this might be rather sort of controversial subject, but when we're unwell, of course we should go to the doctor, because God has allowed mankind to make all sorts of amazing medical discoveries, has enabled mankind to develop all sorts of medicines and pills for all sorts of illnesses and infirmities. And if we just get a cold or a bit of flu, that sort of thing will pass away in a few days. We don't need to call for the elders of the church then, do we? But if it's something very serious, if it's something very big, it would be right to call for the elders of the church to pray with that person and anoint that person in the name of the Lord. And if it's the Lord's will, that person will be raised up, will be made well, and any sins will be forgiven. It says here, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So when we're ill, yes, we go to the doctor or the chemist, whatever, and we can get all the many treatments that there are. I had a bad shoulder a couple of weeks ago. It was really very painful. So I went to a chiropractor who bashed me and poked me and bashed me, and within one visit I was all right. So there you are. That's what we should do. But if it's something really big and serious, call for the elders of the church. I don't think it happens in many churches. There are so many people with illnesses in churches today, yet they don't seek prayer for their condition. Fifthly, can we pray about the weather? Whoa, now there's a subject. Now, in James 5, Elijah did. James 5, 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly. Notice earnestly. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now we are in the midst of a very hot and unusually hot summer. We have had 4 official heat waves in this country. Many reservoirs are very low. River levels are very low. Farmers are in trouble because of the weather. We need to pray that God, in his mercy, would send us the rain that we need. And if this weather was to go on and on and on into the winter, into the autumn, in the winter, I think there could be a very serious water problem in this country. Often in the Old Testament, a drought was a sign of God's judgment. So we need to pray about the weather, perhaps, that God will send some rain to help the farmers. Their yields are down this year. Their harvest is going to be poor this year because of this hot weather and sunny weather. Now, it's nice to have a day like this, just it's lovely. We can go and sit in our garden or go down the beach and all that sort of thing. But we really do need to pray that God would send the rain that we so desperately need, especially down here in the south of England. We seem to get less, we get more up north. I've seen pictures in the paper of reservoirs that are almost completely empty. So we pray about the weather. And lastly, prayers of repentance. Prayers of repentance. And a well-known passage is in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, which I will read to you. You are no doubt familiar with that particular passage. But our nation, as I said in my prayers, has departed from God. We are promoting abortion today, and the assisted dying bill is still going through Parliament. Same-sex marriage is allowed now and even promoted by certain sections of the church that have compromised with Scripture. Our nation needs to come to God in repentance for our national sins. In 2 Chronicles 7:14 it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land." Now, of course, it's applied to Israel, to God's people, but it's a very appropriate verse today because my people are us, God's people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, we have to humble ourselves before a holy and a righteous God. We have to pray and seek his face and repent of the sins of this nation, and even the sins, I'm afraid, of the church today, and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. And God promises, "I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." That's why this prayer meeting for revival this week is so important. I hope you can get along to it. Prayers of repentance are needed today so much, aren't they? And then just briefly back to Ephesians chapter 6 again. And it says, verse 19, "And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." He is praying that he'll be bold in proclaiming the gospel. Now, what's this phrase, "mystery of the gospel," mean? Now, the word mystery today we use in a different way. If something happens and we don't know how it happened, we say, oh, that's a mystery. I don't know how that happened. That's a bit of a mystery. But that's not what it means here. The mystery of the gospel, it means this. It means religious truth only known by divine revelation. Religious truth only known by divine revelation. And God has revealed himself, of course, through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So this phrase, mystery of the gospel, means religious truth only known by divine revelation. But he's praying that her utterance may be given to him, that he may open his mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Through church history, God has raised up certain people who have been very bold in proclaiming the truth of that salvation is by grace alone through faith. There's Luther, when he nailed his 95 theses to the church door at Wittenberg, and the whole Reformation that followed. In the 18th century, we had God raised up John Wesley and George Whitfield to proclaim. They went out in the streets and the highways and the byways, and thousands of people came to know Christ as their Saviour. George Whitfield's pulpit still exists. It was in Brighton for many years. Then it was transferred to Old Hall, an old country house at Wivelsfield, just south of Haworthheath. And it's now in Old Hall Chapel, which is just south of Haworthheath. And I preach in it two or three times a year. His pulpit still exists. It's in Old Hall Chapel at Wivelsfield. And God raised up people like C.H. Spurgeon. And in more modern days, God has raised up people like Billy Graham to proclaim the gospel to thousands and even millions of people through modern technology today. So we need to pray that God will raise up those in these dark days in which we live who will open their mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So there we have six kinds of prayers. Thanksgiving for those in authority, when we're in trouble, when we're ill, prayer about the weather, and then prayers of repentance. Well, may God bless these few thoughts to us this morning. Amen.